Donald Trump admits the truth about Israel. MAGA leaders call for a regime change, but not necessarily the one you might think of. Catholic revival rising across America with the Latin Mass at the heart of it all. Plus, Catholics in Jerusalem at war, barely hanging on, just like the Cristeros in Mexico, who laid down their lives for the Latin Mass and the traditional faith of their fathers. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground. Let's just all breathe a little bit. It is getting so insane, politics right now. I don't know. I think everybody's sick of it. Nobody knows who's telling the truth. Nobody knows what's going on. So I would like to use tonight's program to address a growing problem, and that is secular politics dividing the clans of Catholic tradition. It really is truly unnecessary to be divided over what's going on tonight. I think we really have reached a breaking point, and I mean that in a good sense. But last week, you know, I took a lot of heat for taking issue with the Trump administration's decision, which I believe is an unconstitutional decision. I just do, and I'm not alone in that, to go ahead and bomb Iran's nuclear facilities and whatever else was going to happen before it all blew to hell. So my critics, and by critics I mean friends, allies, traditional Catholics, Christian, conservative Christians, patriots, some of you took, kind of admonished me, told me to lay hand, you know, stay, knock it off, stop going after the Donald, because the Donald knows what he's doing. The Donald is just protecting Israel's right to defend herself and all of this stuff that we've been talking about. And I thought, well, here we go again. You know, we're going to be all blown apart by this insane political situation, but you still have to speak about it, which is exactly what I do. I spoke my piece and took some heat for saying this. So what we need to do, according to these Bible thumpers, is kill that guy over there before he gets his big gun. And then we need to topple his regime, because then we're going to all feel much safer, okay? And then in the process, yes, we are risking World War III with China and Russia. But it's worth it, because otherwise that guy might shoot a big missile at us.
Huh?
Now, for about 24 hours, it looked like we were setting up for another civil war. I mean, us, the clans, you know, another civil war is about to break out, just sort of like the one that happened in November, the 2024 election, after Donald Trump had indicated that he supported abortion pills, he supported the IVF, he supported gay marriage, and there was this huge blowing apart of the clans again. But that was part of the election process, what they had to do for the election. We've moved past that. So I really hope after tonight's show, which I think is going to be a constructive discussion, we don't go back to this whole business of what do you prefer, Kamala Harris, and all the nonsense that was going on before the election. That's history now. Now we're dealing with the reality before us and in front of us, and we have to be honest about that. So anyway, we took issue with the bombing, with what was going on, and thankfully it didn't last long, this division between us, because just a couple of days after that bombing of Iran, the mask sort of slipped off this whole thing. I'm really happy about this. Even finally, Donald Trump was more or less obliged to come out and tell the press that he was sick of Israel's bloody shtick. Here's what he said.
I'm not happy with Iran either, but I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning. We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
What's the takeaway for us? The takeaway is we don't have to be at each other's throats over any of this anymore. It's all fake and gay. Nobody knows who's telling the truth, you know? We do not need to be in lockstep with whatever's going on in Washington, D.C., or whatever's going on in Israel, whatever's going on in the Middle East. We don't have to be all in perfect agreement on this, because the people who are calling the shots are no longer in agreement with one another over what's going on, right? What is going on right now is that Christless chaos that we talk about. You take Christ out of this, you're going to have chaos. That's what's going on. What is going on right now is politics, friends, with a religious undertow that leaves everybody wondering and scratching their head, what's going on here, you know? And the reality is, this is simply not our world. People say, Michael Matt, you're not taking into full consideration the threat of Islam. Yes, I am. But this is not our war. So the question isn't, shall I side with Israel or shall I side with Iran? The question is, in siding with Israel, are we creating an even bigger problem with the Muslim problem in the world, an even bigger threat to Christians living in predominantly Muslim countries? Don't you see? We can discuss this. We can have this out without being at each other's throats. It is not our war. And there's really only one thing now left to sort of confirm all this, and that's what's become abundantly obvious to everyone on all sides of this, and that is this, friends. Israel is not on defense. Israel is on, oh, I'm sorry, if I'm going to be a true patriot, I don't have to say Israel. Israel is on offense, as Lindsey Graham would say. Israel on offense. And Trump finally had to admit it again. Watch it again. This is what he did. This is the president of the United States, leader of the free world, in full-on frustration over this nonsense.
But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning. We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
So let me be clear. What does Trump really believe about all this? I have no idea. And I don't think you know. I don't think anybody knows. And if you look at his Truth Social posts, they're literally all over the place right now, all over the map. He says he went in there and took out the nuclear sites, and he says, well, we're done. Well, now we're going to have a ceasefire. He says Israel doesn't know what the blank they're doing. And then he goes out on Truth Social and says Bibi Netanyahu is a hero and an unbelievably wonderful prime minister, and we support him all. Which is it? I don't know. And we're not going to solve that. We're not going to know that because this is not our war. This is not what we do. They are in chaos. Trump is surrounded by nutjob Christian Zionists right now. And I believe, honestly, I believe that Donald Trump at this moment, this is something we can all agree on. I'm going to prove this to you. Donald Trump is the rope in a really dangerous tug of war between MAGA patriots and neocon Zionists. Everybody's pulling to try to get Trump on their side. Where is he going to end up? I don't know. But all the more so, it is not up for us to hero worship Donald Trump. We know what the man is, right? There's some good and there's some bad there. We don't have to defend his every move. We don't have to hero worship him. We got to pray for him and we got to speak out, like happened this past week. And we weren't alone. Obviously, there were MAGA people. They were patriots. There were Tucker Carlson, even Steve Bannon, a lot of people, Dave Smith, a lot of people. Mr. President, stop. You know, and thank God he did. I don't know how long, I don't know what the lasting nature of this so-called ceasefire is going to be, but at least in this moment, right, the Christian Zionist lunatics lost a round.
The 12-day war is over. President Trump is pivoting back to other issues he's got, and this thing is done. And that's why they're losing their mind, because they had to have not just a forever war, but they had to have regime change to be able to justify the Netanyahu regime. We should have regime change. I've argued this. We should have regime change. I think the regime change we should be looking for is in Jerusalem.
Steve Bannon calling for regime change in Jerusalem, in Israel. Can we be done now? Everybody sees it. Everybody knows what's going on. Israel is the problem. They are not on defense. And I really want to talk about this, and I want to go back. Talk about specifically going back to Catholic counter-revolution, which is what this is truly all about. We're being distracted by all this, right? Go back to what really matters, about not letting these nutters distract us from our holy mission before God, which is to restore all things in Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. That's our war. That's our front line, right? And I'm ready to go out and go to the ends of the earth to try to make this happen. We got to keep the clans together. That's the whole point. We got to stay together here and see what happens, right? So to that end, I'm happy to announce Remnant TV is hitting the road. We're going to hit the road this summer. We're going to go out and do everything we possibly can to unite the clans, to go out and talk to people who are in the trenches, who are fighting for Catholic restoration all around the world. In early August, I'm going to be in Africa. We're going to go to Kenya. We're going to go to Uganda. We're going to go to Tanzania, maybe even Ethiopia. People say, man, you don't understand. There's a lot of Christians are suffering because of the Muslim countries in Africa. Okay, guess what? We're going to go see what that looks like. We're going to see what that's like, how the Catholics, how the Christians are holding up under Muslim persecution. Okay, that's the point. Enough with all this speculation. Let's go find out. So we're going to do that. I'm going to speak at a conference or two held by traditional Catholics in Africa, who are doing just incredible work right now. Right? We're all tittering over, you know, the Israel and the right to defend herself and Trump and all this. I'm going to go to Africa, find out what's going on there. Like the one you see right now in Kenya. This is going to be a great conference on Christ the King, on the traditional Latin Mass in Kenya with Africans, okay? So please make sure, I really want to make this into a kind of a refreshing time for all of us to see what's going on. Unite with the Clans. Make sure that you sign up for my e-letter at the link below so that I can let you know where I'm going to be and when I'm going to be there, because we're going far this time. We have conferences in Japan, in Canada, in U.S. over the next few months. And then, of course, there's the Catholic Identity Conference coming up in October. I'm really excited about that. We got four bishops that are going to be there in person speaking. Did you hear that? Four bishops at the Catholic Identity Conference this year are going to speak. We're also going to have two missionary priests from Africa. So this African alliance is very serious. I hope to have a big CIC announcement, hopefully, next week if all goes well. But again, if you haven't signed up for the Catholic Identity Conference, I'd urge you to do so. Click the link below. The CIC always sells out completely, and we're about halfway there right now. So sign up. Let's get the ball rolling on that. Again, the most important thing you can do is just sign up for my e-letter today, which allows you to follow me as Remnant TV hits the road. We're going to go find out what's going on in the world. All right, friends, so let's get into us, the Clans, you know, allies, soldiers, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, right? Let's get into this. Because the reality is that what we face, and we still face, but what we face very, very urgently a week or so ago was World War III in the making, and World War III over Zionism of one stripe or the other. And so as Catholics, as Christians, we need to discuss this, right? Because we're all going to be impacted by it, either now or in the future. And the first thing, of course, is to understand what is Zionism. We've done so much work on that. But I would say if you're new to the program or if you still are unconvinced, it's not what many, at least critics of this show, think it is. Okay, God's chosen people trying to live in peace. You know, the Christian Zionist narrative is absolutely false. We're going to get into that. So I've spent months down here taking on an approach which I thought might be useful. Rather than me telling you what I think it is, what I think is going on, I wanted to just provide Jewish witnesses, Jewish voices, and those of you who watch this show on a regular basis know that I've been providing week after week after week Jewish testimony for what's going on. I'm not trying to convince you of my opinion on Zionism, but I am trying to use Jewish witnesses to encourage you to do one thing, those of you who are critics still of this show and of what's going on. I want to encourage you to question the narrative that you're being given on Fox News and elsewhere. You just have to question it. It's not true. And as I say, it's falling apart now. Thanks be to God. Question the narrative as it was, the Zionist narrative, as it was presented again last week on this show by Senator Ted Cruz.
Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Hold on. You're a senator and now you're throwing out theology and I am a Christian and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel.
So is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation the descendants God's of referring Abraham. To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
It is.
Now that's bat poop nuts, and that is Christian Zionism in a nutshell, you know? It's a heretical reading of Holy Scripture. That's what we're defending.
Israel is God's chosen people, always have been God's chosen people, always will be God's chosen people.
Now, there's any number of ways, and over the next few shows, I guess we'll continue to talk about this a little bit, but there are any number of ways of tackling this issue of Christian Zionism. But one thing that's kind of easy to understand is that these Christian Zionists want to rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem, right? Of course, that's what they want to do. They talk about it all the time. Even a guy who you kind of, you know, your heart goes out to him a little bit, a guy like Pete Hegseth, he's a Christian Zionist. He, too, wants to rebuild the Third Temple.
And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount. The Western Wall tunnels so much of the Old City. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital, was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
Now here's the problem, Pete. Theologically, scripturally, that's absolute poppycock. Okay? For a Christian support to support the rebuilding of the temple is in fact blasphemy. It's more than poppycock. It's blasphemy. John 2:21, quote, but Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. Jesus Christ is the new temple, is the temple, right? He already came. He already came. He already redeemed the world. He is the new temple. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1197, quote, Christ is the true temple. Christ is the true temple of God, the place where his glory dwells. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, says St. John. Christian Zionism, based on the heretical study Bible concocted by the heretic Cyrus Schofield in 1917, published by Oxford Press, is fundamentally anti-Christian. Do you see what I'm saying? When you say I'm a Christian Zionist, when you say I'm a Zionist, you are supporting the Antichrist, an anti-Christian take on Scripture. Produced first and foremost, again, in 1917 by a guy who was putting together a study Bible all about his interpretation of prophecy, presenting it as though it's biblical fact. That's the problem here. It's not biblical fact. It's Schofield's lunatical opinion, Protestant heretical opinion. And so for a Catholic especially to say, well, I'm a Christian Zionist, I can only conclude most people who say that truly do not understand what they're saying because you're supporting an anti-Christian narrative. You know, and as we pointed out last week, Jewish Zionists, that's even worse. They don't even believe in God, according to Jews.
The founder of Zionists, his name was Theodor Herzl from Vienna, Austria. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in nothing.
Friends, there's just so much more to this than what you think if you're just, again, watching TV and making conclusions based on what the guys have been telling you since October 7th, right? So much more to this. Here, for example, is another Jewish witness, a man whose father was a general in the Israeli army, a general in the Israeli army, right? This man was born in Jerusalem. He's a practicing Jew, and he lived in Israel, probably still does as far as I know. So I think maybe he knows just a little bit more than we do about what Israel's really been up to. And we're not talking about the Jews, we're talking about the state of Israel. Here's what he has to say about it.
And then you've got the Israeli army, which I like to refer to as one of the best trained, best equipped, best fed terrorist organizations in the world. And yes, they have generals and they have nice uniforms, but their entire purpose is terrorism. And just as one example, I'll give you one example, almost exactly 4 years ago, as Israel began its attack on Gaza, September the 27th, 2008, at 11:25 in the morning.
Now, stop the tape, Walter. Stop the tape.
What I refer to.
Did you hear what he just said? He said when Israel attacked Gaza on September 27th, 2008, Israel attacked Gaza. That was long before we started paying attention, right? Long before October 7th, 2023. That's what was going on. They attacked Gaza. Now, you don't have to believe all this, but you have to question a little bit, well, wait a minute, if in 2008 Gaza was already being attacked and bombed, could it be that there was some retaliation? Could it be that this is a civil war? Could it be that there's more to this story than just terrorists in Gaza trying to kill Jerusalem? You see, that's what these witnesses provide for us. No, friends, you may have all the beautiful intentions. You may be a beautiful, love, fun-loving, patriotic, pro-life Christian Zionist. You just don't know the facts. You don't know the facts, and the people on the ground are trying to get the facts out, and we on this show are trying to help Jewish witnesses get the story out.
What I refer to as the most shameful day in the Jewish history, the most shameful day in the history of the Jewish people. Israel began carpet bombing Gaza, and on the first day of what was to be a 21-day attack, they dropped 100 tons of bombs. Okay, a one-ton bomb will decimate an entire city block. Gaza is one of the most densely populated places in the world. 800,000 children live in Gaza. 11:25 is exactly the time when the morning school shift and the afternoon school shift change. So all the kids are in the streets. All the children are on the streets. That was the moment decided by the decision makers in Israel to begin the attack. This is the first day of a 21-day slaughter that had absolutely no justification. If that's not terrorism, I don't know what is.
So maybe this truth, which is finally getting out, is why even guys like Steve Bannon, who's always telling us how, what a big defender of Israel he is, even Steve Bannon now is looking at this and going, maybe what we need is regime change in Israel, if we're going to be talking about regime change.
If you should have a regime change, I think the regime change we should be looking for is in Jerusalem.
I'm just asking questions, as we always do down here, trying to encourage this audience to question the narrative, to more than the narrative, to question everything, right? Especially since the Trump administration is now is teeming with Christian Zionists who are demanding that Donald Trump go to war in the name of Zionism. And you know Donald Trump, the reputation is he kind of listens to these people. People have put him in, he returns favors, he listens to the last person he talked to. He's surrounded by these people. So if you're a fan of Donald Trump, you need to pray for him that he stops listening to these people like Mark Levin, right? Like Senator Cruz, who want to push him and push all of us into World War III over heresy, over a ridiculous reading of scripture, right? And over greater Israel in general in the Middle East. You know, I think this is a chance. I said this months ago, that if there is a president who might just have enough of an ego to say, I'm done with this ridiculous marriage to Israel, it is Donald Trump. He could be the guy. There is hope that if we keep speaking out, maybe ultimately, just as he did this past week when he starts dropping F-bombs, he's so ticked off at Israel, maybe that'll even go further. And this insanity can finally come to an end. And then, oh, by the way, the Muslim problem will be reduced too if we stop launching bombs all over them, rockets all over the place in the name of Israel, the name of Bibi Netanyahu, who is a war criminal and a nut job, okay? Because these people, these Christian Zionists who are putting all the pressure on Donald Trump, friends, they are, I agree with Tucker Carlson on this, they are a ghoulish lot. They are a bloodthirsty, ghoulish lot, Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Ted Cruz, the insufferable Mark Levin.
The people who acknowledged no risk at all because they were so focused on helping another country like Ted Cruz or like, you know, the many people who revealed themselves in the last 2 weeks, Mark Levin chief among them, like those people should not have any access to power at all. Those people rolled the dice with your life and with the lives of your children. It's disgusting. And so, I mean, just ask yourself, is Mark Levin concerned at all about the United States, like at all? And the answer is no. Mark Levin is a repulsive ghoul whose entire sex life consists of watching other people get blown up. He was upset that there was a ceasefire and said so. How could you be upset with a ceasefire?
Well, you say Tucker's giving, you know, Trump a free pass on this. Well, you know what? That's politics, too. These guys are, like I say, the tug of war thing. They're trying to get Trump to come into their camp. They're trying to get Trump to do the right thing. I don't mind that they're doing that, right? Hopefully they're successful. Because at the moment, these people, these Christian Zionists, will do whatever it takes to carry water for Israel. So these Christian Zionists, they hold fast to the Old Testament promises given by God to his chosen people for what? For what purpose? Why did he give? Why were those promises made? To ensure the survival of the chosen people at the time, 3,000 years ago, to ensure their survival, to give them a place to live, namely the promised land, until the Messiah comes. And the Messiah was Jesus Christ, right? Of the house of David. That's what those promises were for, to make sure, that's what kosher is all about, to make sure the chosen people would survive. So from their number could come Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, guess what? He came already, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the incarnation. He fulfilled the old law. He is the new temple. The curtain in the temple was torn in half when he died on the cross because the old law was fulfilled. The Old Testament was in the past, and we have a new testament, a new temple. So again, to use God's holy word in Genesis today, now, therefore, as if Jesus never came is what? It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy, friends. Blasphemous heresy. That's what I meant last week about even the devil can quote scripture. What's he doing? He's editing the New Testament. We're all talking in the future tense when the Messiah comes. He already came. There could be nothing more demonic, therefore, than Christian Zionism's interpretation of scripture. Jewish Zionists do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Obviously, I'm not blaming them. They just simply don't, right? They have always wanted a temporal Messiah, therefore. They never accepted Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world. They never accepted that. They wanted a powerful temporal Messiah who would crush their enemies in this world. And guess what? That's exactly what they're doing today. That's exactly what's going on in the Holy Land. The Jewish people, the Zionists, are becoming the Messiah. And that's why you have so many Orthodox Jews who are saying no to the Zionists. You do not represent us. You're heretics. You don't believe in God. You don't even eat kosher. So even the traditionalists in the Jewish side of all of this are saying to the Zionists, who the heck do you guys think you are? You don't represent us. So the war over who and what Jesus was, is still raging in the Holy Land right now, today. That's what this is all about. The denial of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And Christians who cooperate, God knows why, with that denial are called Christian Zionists. Do you understand? So you may think this war is all about Israel defending herself, but it's not. That's not true. That's crazy. That's just a narrative that's been floated out there by Fox News, Sean Hannity types for way too long. It's not true. And the only way they get away with it is if we're ignorant of Scripture, if we are ignorant of what the Bible actually says. So you got this war against Iran right now. As I said last week, that war is not about Israel defending herself. That war is about Israel gaining power in the Holy Land, in the Promised Land. That war has been raging all of my life. And it's just one step along this way to create a temporal Messiah who will crush all opposition to Israel.
Starting with the hostage taking and the fear of this new regime that took power in 1979, the United States almost immediately went into combat against it. We armed and funded Saddam Hussein in Iraq next door to launch and continue a very, very violent war against Iran that killed a lot of people, hundreds of thousands of people.
Friends, I can see I'm running out of time and we can go on for hours on this. I hope we don't have to spend too much more time. I really think that this week was a game changer. As I said at the top of the show, lots of people are beginning to realize the jig is up. They're figuring out what's really going on here. So I think you get the point. And I think it's time for us to stop letting these people polarize us again, the clans. It's time to get back to our war. And that war, of course, is for the proclamation of the social kingship of Jesus Christ, which isn't unrelated to what we had hoped back in 2016, Donald Trump, as I said last week. We had hoped and prayed that maybe Donald Trump could buy enough time for us to sort of regroup, you know, get done with all the outright persecution going on under the lunatical Democrats and get back to rebuilding, you know, the city of God. And, you know, to some extent, that part, at least partially that happened. But that was the point. So I showed you last week that it's already happening in Europe, incredibly. Again, we just come back from the Sharp Pilgrimage, and I was able to see it's just, you know, the Catholic faith is sort of the burgeoning, restored Catholic faith and tradition is just bursting out all over Europe. Even as the mainstream Catholic Church sinks, of course, there's a traditional Catholic counter-revolution, counter-restoration, if you will, that's incredible. And the same thing now is happening right here at home in the United States of America.
In this video, we're counting down 10 up-and-coming Catholic towns in the USA. Hidden gems where faith, culture, and community thrive. Number 10. Bozeman, Montana, a town of 53,000, is attracting Catholics due to its natural beauty, low taxes, and growing Catholic community centered around Holy Rosary Parish. Holy Rosary offers the Latin Mass and active ministries. Parish data shows a surge in baptisms and conversions, up 20% since 2022. The town's Catholic homeschool networks and proximity to outdoor recreation appeal to young families. Number 9. Hulbert, Oklahoma, near Clear Creek Abbey, is an emerging Catholic hub due to the Benedictine monastery's influence. Founded in 1999, the Abbey attracts traditional Catholics with its Latin Mass, Gregorian chant, and contemplative lifestyle. Number 7. Leavenworth, Kansas, with a population of about 37,000, is home to active parishes like St. Joseph and Immaculate Conception, which anchor spiritual life. St. Joseph's offers the Latin Mass and strong catechesis. Number 6. Fort Collins, Colorado, hosts several active parishes, like St. Joseph and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. St. John the 23rd Catholic Church offers the Latin Mass and numerous youth programs. Number 4. Gainesville, a town of about 17,000 in Northern Virginia, is attracting Catholics due to Holy Trinity Catholic Church's reputation for orthodoxy and dynamic ministry. Its proximity to Front Royal, the home of Christendom College, and Washington, D.C., makes it a practical choice for families seeking Catholic community without rural isolation. Holy Trinity is noted for its Latin Mass, strong RCIA program, and youth ministry. Number 3. Sioux Falls, South Dakota is a hub for Midwest Catholic growth, driven by the Diocese of Sioux Falls' evangelization efforts and St. Lambert Parish's traditional focus. St. Lambert and nearby St. Michael's offer the Latin Mass. Number 2. Post Falls, with a population of about 40,000. The town is near Coeur d'Alene, where the traditional Latin Mass community is growing and has seen an influx of Catholics from states like California and Washington. Number 1. Lander, a small town of about 7,500, is gaining attention due to the establishment of Wyoming Catholic College, a conservative liberal arts school emphasizing traditional Catholic values and outdoor education. Holy Rosary Parish is the hub, offering traditional liturgies and community events tied to the college.
So the thing is, friends, that's the war that we can't let them distract us from. That's a war that we can win. I'm absolutely convinced every day. It's what gets me out of bed. I know we can win this war. We've made so much progress in that war. And if that war continues, and if we continue to experience victories there, that'll change history. That'll change a lot of things. That's why it was so diabolical when the Vatican began cracking down on that sort of thing, cracking down on the Latin Mass movement, because it does have the power to change souls, change lives, change countries, change history. It truly does. And it was well on its way. It already is well on its way, still is, to doing just that. So we have to continue to stay focused on that fight first and foremost. Even though we got to deal with the politics of the situation in which we find our countries, in which we find ourselves, we cannot lose sight of the end game for what we're all about. Don't let them distract us from our war for the proclamation of the social kingship, to restore all things in Jesus Christ, and continue to fight, because that's the war that matters. That's the war whereby the remnant of Christian believers will defend against the attack on the cross, because that's what this is all about. An attack on the cross, an attack on the social kingship of Jesus Christ, an attack on his church, an attack on his temple being waged by the governments of Freemasonry. Freemasonry being Zionism's older brother, that's all. And it's been going on for centuries, and it's still going on today. If you look at your screen right now, this is what they attack, friends. This is what's truly at the heart of all this. First with their war machines, and then with their infiltration and their modernist carpet bombing of everything that we hold sacred. Look at your screen. The attack on the Catholic Church, which was an attack on the social order. This is right after bombing in World War II. Look at the buildings. Bombed to hell, right? The attack on the Catholic Church, which built the greatest civilization history has ever seen. An attack on the cross. What they could not destroy, however, with their guns and their bombs during the war, they destroyed a few decades later with their revolution of ideas, with their infiltration, with their destruction of the Christian confessional state, with the attack on the Mass, with the attack on the priesthood, with the attack on the religious life. The restoration of this is what we're fighting for, friends. Not the Christophobic state of Israel, which is using us to enrage our ancient nemesis, the sons of Allah, in a way that does not have to happen. That is not our war. And we need to tell the stories, friends, of the Catholic heroes, our heroes, like the brothers and sisters in Christ who right now, again, look at your screen, right now, our brothers and sisters in Christ in the shrinking Catholic community of Jerusalem, surrounded by enemies of the cross on all sides, heroically keeping the faith against all odds. Imagine the fear of these Christians tonight, friends, right now, as bombs and missiles shake the foundations of their churches and the war-torn land where Christ was born, the Holy Land. They are the Christian heroes. These that we're seeing on the screen right now are the Christian remnant of believers who are holding the Catholic ground, literally. And we must stand with them. Stand with the clans of Jerusalem tonight, just as we stand and have stood with all those who've laid down their lives for the real Messiah who came 2,000 years ago, friends. It's the same war. And I'll tell you, over at the Remnant newspaper, we've been telling the stories for a long time about the Vendée and about the Cristeros, especially over the past couple of years. Full center spreads in issue after issue, telling the stories of the great heroes, Mexican heroes, only 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, martyrs who died in the same war that we're fighting now, only it was a much more bloody war for them. So I'd encourage you, in fact, to subscribe to the Remnant newspaper right now so you can read this week's story of two Catholic brothers, which really, as far as I'm concerned, put everything that I'm talking about in tonight's show into perspective. Two Catholic brothers. Their names were Ezekiel and Salvador Gutierrez. They gave their lives for Christ, the King, not quite 100 years ago. Ezekiel was a gifted musician. I like to tell their stories because they had so much to lose. Young guys, right? They weren't old, decrepit grandfathers who were at the end of their lives. No, they were young guys, family men. Ezekiel was a musician. He was a husband. He was a father of 10 little children. Salvador, his brother, was a mechanic. He was married to Adelina, who'd given him 11 children. And they were very happy, beautiful, wonderful Catholic families, right? On April 2nd, 1927, everything changed for them. Ezekiel was arrested for refusing to go along with the Masonic government of Mexico's attack on a Latin Mass, sort of like they're doing today. An attack on Latin Mass, an attack on Catholic priests, an attack on the Catholic faith being carried out by Freemasonic enemies of the cross. That same day, Salvador found the police waiting for him at his mechanic garage. The two brothers were tortured later in the afternoon in a sick attempt to get information out of them as to the whereabouts of the archbishop and two Catholic priests who were in hiding. When the two brothers refused to talk, they were led to a firing squad at midnight on April 3rd, 1927. Just before they died, the one brother turned to the other and said, "We forgive them, right?" This was Salvador asking his brother. And his brother answered, "We forgive them," Ezekiel said. And then he began singing, "Viva mi Cristo, viva mi Rey," which prompted a barrage of gunfire to his chest, and he died. Salvador, his brother, in the last few moments of his life, he watched his brother fall to the ground. He removed his hat, and he said, "I take my hat off to you, brother, because you are already a martyr." He picked up a candle that was on the wall, and in the dark, standing alone, Salvador ripped open his shirt and put the candle in front of his chest. He says, "So that you do not fail," he shouts to the executioners, "I place this candle before my heart, the heart that dies for Jesus Christ. Viva Cristo Rey y Santa Maria de Guadalupe," he shouts, just before the firing squad silenced this young man's voice forever. These, friends, these are the stories that we simply must tell our children, because they are the stories of people and ideas that matter more than anything else. They matter more than ever, especially right now. We have to tell the stories. We have to keep that spirit alive. That's what matters. And to the Jewish Zionists in the world today, the Christian Zionists in the world today, let's light the candle once again, and let's let our Catholic voices ring out in the darkness. We're right here. We'll never become you. We stand with Jesus Christ, the only Messiah there has ever been or ever will be. Viva Cristo Rey.